Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to the Fatback Four for this Sunday evening. Manchester United 0, Liverpool 5 from Old Trafford. We did warn you. We said during the week, I'm taking all the credit. I said during the week, we are going there and we are going to upend them. And that's exactly what we've done. And I get the feeling, and I don't know if Gary Neville agrees, that something might not quite be right at Old Trafford, but we'll have to wait and see. With me, I have got Jamie. They're all smiling, happy heads. Jamie is with me. He has a full bottle of wine. Keith, I don't know what he's brought.
Vodka and Red Bull.
And Shawnee has rang downstairs for a bottle of whiskey. Hold the glass was the instruction, but the glass may be coming anyway, just to be on the safe side. Just to let people know that if you've come in here this evening for analysis, deep stuff, you're going to be badly let down. There won't be any social media, there'll be no formations, there'll be no stats, player watches, what's nothing up? It's going to be
four
lads
on the internet, it's all here. Right, you'd be glad, give us it.
Shawnee's delivery is arriving.
Come on, just drop it into me, will you? You're all right. Just give it to me, will you?
Gemma must be a United fan. She's not playing.
No, he's on mute there. No, he knows he's not on mute yet.
Yeah.
My glass is roasting.
There we go.
Straight out of the blade dishwasher, Shawnee, is it?
No, Shawnee is on. Naman Agarwal says, and fair play for saying it. I'm going to get it up on screen for you now in 1 second, exactly what he said, because it's very, very, very
prophetic.
It is prophetic. That's a great word, Keith. I'm just having a mare here, but lads,
just to drop a nectar there, boys. Cheers.
Yeah. Get it into you. On the cockles.
3-2-1. Up your bollocks, Ole.
Up your bollocks.
I'll leave Shawnee for a minute while he's sorting that whiskey out. Jamie, you said something to me before we come on live, and you said that day couldn't have went much better if you tried.
We tonked Manchester United in their old backyard, but even like down to things like Ronaldo scoring a goal and then it gets disallowed. Oh. You had the moment where it pans in on Fergie and you can see his heart literally breaking. And then in the next clip, Kenny's laughing, his bollocks laughing. Like everything today was brilliant. Shawnee said there about Gary Neville having a meltdown and getting his arse handed to him in the studio. Like, as a Liverpool fan today, it couldn't have went any better. It's one of the best days, the days that we will remember. I was actually laughing. That's how funny it was throughout the course of the game.
I've done no work since the whole time. I've just laughed constantly. Yeah.
Just laughed, just listening to the meltdowns, watching the meltdowns. And the funniest thing was, we weren't even that good. Like, we had another three or four levels to go up today. Every time we strung three or four passes together, we cut through them with ease. And let's be honest, lads, we did it without our midfield. You know what I mean? It was a patchwork side to some degree. We'd rested a couple of key players and the lads that came in, come in and done the business. So can you imagine if we actually played well and we had our full strength team out, what we would have done today? So now, Gav, today is one of the very best days, mate. So yeah, absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, it's like, Shawnee, let's go back to before it, because, you know, I fully believe that Joe Rowson's speech on Wednesday night is the reason why we've won this game. I'll put 100%. It out there, right, on record. But Shawnee, like, going into it, you know, we see no Fabinho in the squad. We see Mane's on the bench. Matip is on the bench. Kanate comes in. Jota comes in. The midfield three that started during the week start again. Was there any bit of you that thought, we might be messing around a bit here? We're confident, but we might be messing around a little bit.
No, I was fine with the idea of Kanate going in there, because dealing with Rashford down that left-hand side, I felt he does have the pace. That's one thing we've seen in the early days of his Liverpool career. I'm not going to lie to you, I was worried about Fabinho not being there, because we have seen to being vulnerable in games when he hasn't played. Like, you only have to go back to Tuesday night as an example. Like, the tide of the game kind of turned when he came on in the second half. So, but Gab, I looked at them, and I'm not just saying it. I'm not. Like, I've seen so many teams go to Old Trafford this year and control the game and dominate the ball and have many chances. And I looked at our team thinking, we definitely have enough here to fucking beat this, because I'm not just saying it. They are shy. There's no other way about it. They genuinely are. They've been getting away with it. They've been bailed out with big moments from Ronaldo in both of the Champions League games in Old Trafford. So I just felt that we had to turn up. And so much has happened since Jurgen Klopp was turned up Liverpool. But one thing that hasn't happened, we never really went to Old Trafford and fucking imposed their game on them in a Premier League game. And I know last year, and I don't really think it counts because it was an empty stadium.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to see today. Just ruthless efficiency in the first half that they could not deal with. They were all over the place. They're an absolute shambles.
The thing for me was, and we get on to more, we get on to loads of players as this goes on. Brave, I thought, thrown Konate in for his, I think it's his fourth start.
Second, against Palace.
Yeah, you're right, second. But his first away start, as opposed to Liverpool in the Premier League, and it's away at Manchester United. Now, the man, I think, could be something going after, if you remember, after Atletico, he said he felt a bit guilty for playing certain players that played a lot of international football, and maybe he looked at that and brought in Jota. And then you look at the midfield and you think, right, we could have done with Fabinho, definitely, because any team could do with Fabinho. But I said this to you during the week, they give up so many chances. They gave Atalanta 8 chances during the week, and I said, if they give us eight, I'd be fucking, my mind would be blown if we didn't take 4 or 5 of them. Mind blown, because they're not just giving up chances, they're giving up chances where it's literally De Gea and you in the box, and it's like, it's not even, it's closer than a penalty at times. It's ridiculous. But Keith, I'll come to you. Shawnee's right, they're a shambles. And Sky afterwards, you know, Souness lashed players, managers, coaches, you name it, and Neville was trying to say, oh, well, everyone will get a bit of abuse after this, quite rightly, because Keith, the first goal, right, I think it's a brilliant goal, by the way, just to put it out there, but everyone was talking about how United didn't press, and it's a good point. They half-arse pressed, and to me it looked straight away, 5 minutes in, these don't want this. They don't want to do it. They don't want to put in the work. They want to look like they're doing it, but they don't. And it's a brilliant goal. It's a fucking brilliant goal.
It's a great goal. It's a move. It's a good move. There's good passing involved in it. And it's just after Bruno misses a good chance for them. Yeah, so they get in at the very start and blazes one over with a ridiculous effort, really. You go across goal with that every day of the week. And we just go up to the end. We don't panic. We just go up and Naby Keita just walks through the middle of their defence and saunters in and slots one past David De Gea. A lot is getting made out of Man United, and not enough credit is being given to Liverpool, I think, in the media narratives around it since. And that's the way, the nature of the beast, I suppose, when you get hammered by our biggest rival 5-0. And I thought we took the foot off. It annoyed me that we weren't going for the jugular at the end of that. Yeah, we should have really tried to ram a home on them, but
I think we start off. If it did 11 times, we would have.
Yeah, I think we start off perfectly. You know, we get in there. It's a great goal. It's a player, right? Naby Keita. It's his moment. Someone said it in the chat earlier. It might have been Davo or one of you boys.
It wasn't Davo. Davo was fucking.
Oh, Davo was actually, it wasn't Davo. He was behind the sofa with the bag of meanies. But no, it was
4-0 up. He was like, what are we doing? We need to be doing the right thing.
This is awful. No, but listen, it's Naby Keita. It's his big moment. You know, he scored this season. He's been quietly impressive. I know we felt he was poor against Atletico for their goals. He scored a cracker. Scored a cracker last week against who did he score that against? Watford, was it? Did he score against Watford? Crystal Palace. A cracker against Palace, a cracker against Atletico. And there, you know, Atletico, I suppose, is a big enough one. The Chelsea game when we wrapped up the league tightly, got a cracker in that, but it sort of all got forgotten about. Go to Old Trafford and get a goal. I mean, Andrea de Sena still gets fond memories for scoring there and for scoring against Real Madrid. Do you know what I mean? And he was fucking brutal. That was Naby's moment. Naby went in there. Naby's come out of that game today. And look, I didn't hear the full extent of the injury. I know Klopp said he didn't seem that bad. I thought he was excellent today going forward. I thought he was excellent. And that's, you know, he's come away from there with a goal and a couple of assists, or a couple of involvements at least in goals. And I thought he was really impressive. They couldn't handle the run from deep from Naby Keita. Now, their pressing is non-existent. It's pathetic how they approach that game against their biggest rivals with their manager's job, you know, teetering on the brink.
We don't give a shit about the manager's job. I'll explain to you the massive way why they don't care about the manager. But
fuck them.
Jamie, just touching on the first goal, because I want to go through the goals and touch on some players, and then as we're touching on them players, we can talk about United as well. And people will say, why are you talking about United? Let me tell you, United have done this to us for years, where they've sat and told you, not only how good United are, but how bad we are. So we're going to do it to them, right? Cav Oldham in the Super Chat says, VVD, Body and Cristiano Ronaldo, show me that the lads are here for it this season. I love the fight in this group. And I want to get to that in a minute, because I love the bit where Ronaldo should have went, and we'll talk about it. But Jamie, the first goal, it's a half-arse press. It's Van Dijk to Robertson, down the wing, inside. Ball breaks, and I don't know where the fuck United are gone. It's a ball to Salah. Shaw's played him onside. Keita goes through and scores. But, Jamie, there's no... I think it's a brilliant footballing goal because of the quickness of the passes from, 30 yards from our own goal to 20 yards from theirs. And then you look at what they've done. You're kind of saying to yourself, no press, no tackles, no organisation, no line, no chasing back, no nothing. Naby Keita's in the middle of the goal and none of their midfielders are in 20 yards. But is it fair to say it's a brilliant goal, but they're horrific?
Yeah, from a coaching perspective, it's pathetic from their side. I think it was good football by Liverpool. I don't think it was earth-shatteringly good, to be honest. We popped the ball, we moved it around well, we picked the right options and we finished it well. It was far too easy, to be honest, to be able to cut a team open like that. But again, not to dwell too much on Manchester United, we've said it and I've said it at length. They're a team of individuals that haven't been coached properly for a very long time, and they basically rely on individuals with moments of brilliance. And it's like when you used to play Championship Manager or Football Manager, and you buy all the best players and just lob them in your team and hope something happened. That's exactly what Ollie has done. Jadon Sancho was the guy that was getting a lot of spotlight in the summer. He went and bought him. They went and bought Ronaldo. I said at the time when he bought Ronaldo, it would disrupt everything. I think they should be building the team around Mason Greenwood, not Cristiano Ronaldo. It's a team of individuals. And what you are always going to see, and you have to give him credit. Look, Paul Scholes has been in the news for all the wrong reasons over the last 24, 48 hours. But one thing that's come off the back of this is, how spot on was he for BT Sports after the Atalanta game? He literally called it word for word when they were all waxing lyrical, rolling out the cheesy lines about the famous nights at Old Trafford and all this. Scholes sat back and said, I was worried about Liverpool. Watching that game, can you imagine they set up like that against Liverpool? Because if you do, there'll be three or four down at halftime, and that is exactly what happened. Now, I do think too much has been made about United being bad, and like Keith said, Liverpool went there and they stamped their authority. And what we did, we scored big goals at big times. I think we were talking in the WhatsApp going into the game. Mm-hmm. Liverpool have often shit the bed at Old Trafford, and we've missed those chances, those big moments. And ultimately, that's what swings those games. Because if you let that crowd get their tail up, it's a difficult place to go. But what Liverpool did is they just sucked the life out of the stadium, and you're just seeing it filter through the whole team. And there was a 10-15 minute spell there where they looked like a team of strangers who didn't want the ball at their feet. And that's a mix of them not being very good and Liverpool being good at what they do.
We move on to the second goal, right? Because again, Maguire and Shaw get mixed up. Keita gets on it. Trent, we're clinical, Sean. We're absolutely clinical. And Jamie says something there. If they look like a team that they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're at. Does the realisation come to Manchester United after 14 minutes, Sean, that this game is over?
If you actually look at the game, the forced phase of play, Fernandez goes to press Van Dijk. Now, listen, I'm not an expert, but I've never seen anybody pressing Van Dijk. I think it's the most pointless thing you can do.
It's totally pointless.
Waste of energy.
He's the most lethal passer from centre back in the world, but he turns around and the rest of his teammates are in our half. So I'm going, there's no way they can be this naive again. Surely not. I don't even think United are a pressing team. I don't even think they're pressed. No. To be honest with you, I don't think it's something that they walk on.
They do it in ones, Shawnee. That's the problem. Yeah. They do it in ones, and you may as well not bother them.
And I think that's players taking it on themselves. If you look at the first goal, like Wan-Bissaka goes to press Robbo on the ball. Like, it was just a shambles. The second goal, Robbo literally just plays a ball into the corridor of uncertainty, and fucking Shaw and Maguire they're trying to ride each other on the edge of the 18-yard box. I don't know what's going on.
Well, neither of them are doing anything.
Well, Gav, that's all, because that can happen. You can get tangled up and get caught across when that ball goes. But for me, the true hallmark of a top defender is your reaction and how you react and what you do to get back in and how you make it difficult after you make a mistake. And Maguire is just running in porridge. He can't get taunt at all. And Trent is probably thinking to himself, my God, it can't be this easy. That, when we scored the second goal, I said, this has to be offside or something. There's no way they can be that badly set up. They were absolutely atrocious. It reminded me of the first 10, 20 minutes of the Spurs game there last year. And you're thinking, this is the exact same manager with a better squad, let's be honest, because it is. It's a squad that improves every window, more or less. And they're basically making the same mistakes. There's zero cohesion between the defenders, the midfielders, and the front players. And bringing someone in like Ronaldo only compiles all of that, because he's put a cherry on top of the cake now, but the cake still tastes like shite. So at the end of the day, it's worth fucking cake. Nothing having it. It's cherry, a shite cake.
Shite cake.
They're a shite cake. But
with a cherry aftertaste.
That first half, honestly, that's the best phone I've had on with my clothes on in a long time.
That's a great show. And if you get enough of that whiskey into you, I doubt to be clothes on later. That's all I'm going to say to you. I'm fair fucks to you.
I might not even make it to the end. I'd be like Harry Maguire sleeping on the edge of the 18 in about 10 minutes.
But the thing is, don't get me wrong, that move again, it's a ball clipped into the middle. The two of them do nothing. Centre half and left back. But you have to give credit to Liverpool again, because Naby Keita has no right to get that ball. But he goes after it, he hunts it down. I think he tries a back heel that doesn't quite work, but still turns and gets it and knows where he's putting it into Trent. And Trent must be looking going, are these taking the piss 25 yards from goal with all that, or not even 25 yards from goal, with all that space that I can hit a ball into, and I'm that good, I will fucking do it. And it was the only thing that was saving them was Jota offside or not, and it turns out he wasn't, because you're right, Shawnee, the reaction of them is terrible. They don't try to get back in. They just stand and watch and hope. You know, the sort of way. But you have to give credit to Liverpool, because they're clinical. And it's 14 minutes in. And going back to something that Jamie said a while ago, Liverpool have shit to bed a few times at Old Trafford. And not even to the point where they're a much better team and they miss chances. They're a much better team and they don't go and look for chances.
Yeah.
They go into a game and they sit there and see what United are about. And there was probably an argument, and I made it, that we could have sat today and looked at and seen what United about and hit them on the break, but we didn't. We went the opposite, and we killed them.
I felt today was the first time where we played the game and not the occasion.
Yeah,
exactly.
We played it on air terms.
We opposed the game on them, exactly, and they just could not live with us in any shape or form. That's where it started to get ugly towards the back end of the game, because that's just the show of petulance. I said it the other night on the show, they don't play the same sport as us.
No.
They just don't. I don't even think Chelsea play the same sport. I know everyone was going on about Chelsea yesterday when they beat Norwich 7-0, but I think us and City are miles out in the head of being elite teams that way. And to be fair, that we needed this result today, because Carragher did allude to it before the game that we'd played two of the big games at home and we didn't really turn up, to be honest with you. I thought we weren't great against City. We get a result and the Chelsea game is one of them. So today was sort of we're fucking here as well. And if you look at the league table already, it's starting to already show. Like the cream is already rising to the top and it's not even November yet. And just allow that circus to roll on at United. They are drowning fast without a paddle. And it's fucking great. I hope that fella hasn't got the courage of his own convictions and actually resigns. I think that's what somebody with a brain would do, because you're looking around today and Pogba laughing when he gets sent off. They're a fucking shambles. They're an absolute shambles. And I couldn't be happier, because I'm a person who spent most of my child and fucking teenage life watching these fuckers dominate. And I'll happily enjoy pointing and laughing at all these fucking shite bags going missing now. Gary Neville swallowing his own bleeding tongue in the Sky studio. Yeah, man, bleeding.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, man, Jones, I thought you had to get an epinephrine pen out and bleeding stick it into me. Needed to tell him. The fella was fucking drowning, but it's great.
Neville was drowning because there's losing the game and then there's losing it like that. And there's only so much your argument will stand up if you lose that game 2-1 or 3-1. Your argument can stand up to a certain point, but when you're absolutely annihilated like that, to the point where Liverpool, to use a cricket reference, declared at 70 minutes and just said, you know, that's enough for us. But Keith...
Do you know though, Gav? Sorry, I just think with Neville, he's losing more and more credibility.
Yeah.
With every passing minute this. And to be fair, I've got a little tiny bit of respect for him that he wants to stick up for his mates, because no one wants to be a prick to your mate. But at the same time, pundits are there to be pundits and say it like it is. And he's blaming everybody else but the manager. And if you think back, Carragher, I think it was a good few years ago now, Stevie was going through a difficult patch. And Carragher speaks about it. He had to fucking dig him out a bit. And that's his best mate who he's gone in the trenches with. And he stood up and he said it. Now, it's not difficult. It's not an easy situation. Gary Neville is literally making himself look like a fool, because he's backtracking, changing stories. Like some of the stuff that he's saying in defense of Ollie, like, it's actually nonsensical at this stage. Anybody that knows football with half a brain can see what the problem is here, but he is literally blaming everybody else. If it's not the board, it's a million and one other things. It's Pogba. He blames everyone. There's no leadership there. There's no leadership on the pitch, off the pitch. They are a broken football team. But then if you compare it to the likes of a Liverpool, who are well-structured, I think we're 19 games unbeaten now. If you're going back to last season as well, 22 all comps.
Was it not more than that?
I think it might be 20 after Atletico Madrid, or 21.
But you know what, though? Do you know
someone
what I love?
The child tells.
I'm sorry, because the wine's kicking in now, so I'm just jumping in and reeling off shite. But you know what I loved? There was two moments that told me that Liverpool are right back at it. So one, the super chat came in before when Ronaldo was petulant and the lads steamed in. They all steamed in as well, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. At Old Trafford, it was like, you fuckers aren't going to do this to us here. And then there was another moment. We went 5-0 up. And Robbo ran over.
Yeah, you could hear
all of them. And he was like, I can't remember what he was saying, but it was along the lines of, we go again. Is fucking keep pushing. Don't let these off the leash. The hunger and desire that is back in this Liverpool team. They just want to keep it rolling now. They just want the games to come thick and fast. They believe big time that there's trophies on the table for them.
Well, Pat Panesar, obviously Pat Benatar's brother. Or sister, we're not too sure. Me and Keith, you're a big fan, Keith.
Big fan of Pat Benatar.
You didn't pick a person this week. It was you two last week. It was Liam.
What were you listening to? A few randomers in my head today.
Okay, we'll be looking for a few randomers in a Sunday. Yeah. Pat says,
a few randomers.
Absolutely buzzing. We stuffed them mank pretenders. Please don't they have the Sienna steps. We'll throw it all at Sienna if that's all right with you, Pat.
Yeah.
But Keith, I'm going to come to you because I want to touch on the first player that we're going to touch on, and that is Ibrahima Konaté. Because he comes in, like I said, and I thought he was fucking excellent. And, you know, the lads are right in what they're saying. They bring him in because his pace, he's electric. There was one stage, second half, I think it was, and he ate the ground up. He was like a thoroughbred racehorse going after it. But he does so well. He's physically good. He passes it well. He covers well. He's good in the air. Everything you want when you look at maybe Ronaldo and Rashford trying to pull onto him as they do usually try to get away from Virgil van Dijk. And then on top of that, Keith, Ronaldo is a little bollocks towards the end of the first half, and he's straight in. Yeah. Straight in. It looks like, I'd say if they'd have let him, he would have slapped a few heads there if he had to. He was brilliant.
He was brilliant, Gav. And I'm a huge fan. I was a huge fan when we signed him. I was a huge fan of his at Leipzig when we were getting linked with the other fella up in Meccano. I thought Konaté was the better player. I got abused over for saying it on this channel. not by anyone on the show, but in the chat, people were obviously saying he'd never watched football. And it was just an opinion I had of him because I felt he had all the tools to play, especially in the Premier League for a team like Liverpool, because he's big, he's quick, strong, good on the ball. He has it all. He's only 21, 22 years old. This young fella is good. He went in there and I felt, I think Phil Egan tweeted, of this parish, tweeted about in there to match, you know, Ronaldo in the air and things like that. But he was running out to the right, over to Rashford from the start of the game. And it was like he was going in and he was obviously told, because he's not a stupid player, he was obviously told, get in on him as well and do not let him move. And I felt he snuffed Rashford out from early on. If you have a big fella like that getting on you, Rashford didn't look up for the challenge at all. And I just felt that he imposed himself on the game from the very start. I thought he was good in his game when he played against Palace. I thought he shown a few qualities. And I felt today, putting him in there, obviously hindsight's a great thing, it was a masterstroke. Do you know what I mean? Not that Matt, I think Matip's been probably the best, better than Van Dijk so far this season in games. But I felt he needed to rest one of them at some stage. And I was actually shocked that it was today. But it worked out perfectly because Konaté just has everything that we need. As you said, who was it in the second half when he put the afterburners on? Was that Greenwood or who was it that was going? No, Greenwood got the curly finger, did he?
Yeah, it was always...
He sprinted across
Rashford, was it? Yeah.
He just stood across them.
He just out of the ground. I was like, look at this guy going. He was the unbelievable.
The fact he plays... He's so young, but he plays like he's played literally 500 games for Liverpool today. Yeah. Like that didn't look like him.
Not
being
a sniff of nerves.
He backs himself.
He reveled in it. That's what he does.
You could see him laughing at Fred and all when he was trying to shove him. Like, you know what I mean? He backs himself. He's a big fucking unit as well. My God, he shifts as well. He's very imposing. Very, very imposing. And I can't imagine that the boys would have enjoyed playing, because it's bad enough having Virgil here who's just going to win everything. You know what I mean? But when you have this fella who covers the ground like a gazelle, and he was grand, his distribution at times is absolutely brilliant. He was stepping up and playing that pass into midfield. And this is what we all cried out for last year, is having these sort of options at centre-back. And the fact that Klopp trusted him to put him in there today, when he known the narratives that could have been generated had we not got a result there today, shows he has massive trust in the players like him in the squad. And it's so good to know that I could literally sleep now. If you tell me next week against Brighton, Van Dijk was going to sit it out and you're going to have Matip and Konaté in there, you'd feel safe as houses, because all the boys are operating and they're doing exactly as they're told when they're coming in. And that's one thing I will say about the players coming off the bench. I thought Jones, Jones and Knox looked very sharp when they come on. And that's all you can ask for, is when you call on these lads and they come in and they do a job and they're just of use to you. And that's something that we didn't have last year.
Well, we had Reece Williams and Nat Phillips there, didn't we, last season?
We didn't look very comfortable in games with them there. We always looked under pressure. But today, they were great. And just seeing the boys fighting and saying, you're not going to fucking bully us here.
Love that.
They knew.
You always say the term big boy football, Shawnee. And we played big boy football today.
That's what that was. We were the biggest bullies on the schoolyard today. And that's great going to Old Trafford and saying
that. We've often said that we're too nice at times. Yeah. And even at Old Trafford, or whether it could be the Etihad, it could be wherever. But sometimes, not that we're too nice, not that we'd be back out of a physical challenge or a mental challenge or whatever it might be, but we're not vocal enough. And we're not kind of in people's faces enough. Like Matt Sweeney says, Konaté, absolutely no nonsense in defence today. Done the bread and butter relentlessly. The options at the back are formidable now, which is a very good point. Loads of people are giving out to me because I'm not telling people to hit the like button. So hit the like button. There's 1,000 people watching. So hit the like button if you can, please. And if you're not subscribed, hit subscribe as well while you're at it. Then there's a period, right, sorry, 3-0 comes. Have we done 3-0 yet? We're on the count.
No.
I can't remember.
I just did what you want, Gab.
Can anyone tell me how the Formula One's going on? Me and Kev O'Sullivan are gone bang into it, along with NFL. But 3-0, and you know.
Well, before we go on to the goal, Gav, can we just say Curtis Jones does come on in the meantime, yes, Milner gets injured.
Yeah.
And Jamie, I think, said in our WhatsApp group, that will make us actually better, because Milner, I don't think, had a great start. And Jones does give you that. He's a bit more mobile.
He'll hold
and it can be hard coming in cold into a match that early as well, you know, for an injury. Sometimes it's a difficult one, but I felt Curtis got straight into it from the start. So, yeah, it was a big,
do you know, though, that was, you know, we're talking about the lineup and whatever, and Canate, we all, you know, you have to panic when you first see the lineup. It's natural. Everybody does it. You have a bit of a wobble because it wasn't what you were expecting. And you try to rationalise then. And the Canate one, I think we touched on it, deal with Rashford, I thought it made sense. Then you look in the midfield like Shaunie. I was worried that Fabinho wasn't there, particularly with the speed that United counter. You just want him there, the lighthouse, just mopping up. When you looked at the three in the midfield, Milner was the one, and Keita obviously off the back of a sticky night last time out. You looked at that, and that was a worry, because Old Trafford's a big pitch, and you're asking a hell of a lot of what's Milner, 36 now? And it ultimately showed for him. It was a muscle injury, wasn't it? It was one game too far for Milner. And that's why I thought, you know, when Jones comes on, he's got the arrogance that you need at Old Trafford. It's a big pitch. He's not afraid to go and get on the ball.
It's a game suited to him because it's actually we're really in control, but there's loads of space as well. It's not like we're in control and they're like backs of the wall and there's not much room. There was just so much room, Jamie.
But if you'd have said to me, and I think we spoke about it, Gav, in the week, you know, who would you pick if the, you know, looking ahead to the game, if he'd have been fit, I'd have gone for Fabinho, Henderson and Curtis Jones from the left. That would have been my three for that exact reason. It's just so important now that you're seeing players interchangeable and being able to add impact. Like the other one that we haven't spoke about yet is the Mane one. And sorry if I'm jumping ahead on the agenda, but, you know, you look at Mane and I looked and I thought, yeah, he's been scoring goals. He's been in form. But we're now able to rotate the front three without a drop in quality. And when have we ever been able to say that? That was the plan last season till Jota got injured. And we were really never able to see the fruit of that. So now you've looked at it and Mane's got dropped when he's arguably in form. He's pissed off and there's nothing better than an angry Mane.
Yeah.
So he's going to come on chomping at the bit. Jota's come on and scored again. Jota just scores goals. He just whenever he plays, he scores goals. You've got Firmino now has had a bit of a, I don't want to say rebirth because it's not like he went away, but Bobby looks like Bobby again. And it's literally just because they've had a bit of a rest. It bodes well. It really does.
It really does. And look, Mo Salah gets a pain in his bollocks with all this going on that says, right, I'm ready. Here we go. If you think this game is out of reach now, well, you see the next 10 minutes. And again, he's clinical. It's a great move, by the way. It's going underrated, that move. Probably because he takes a shot and it gets deflected. And a big thing is made on Sky about the reaction of players. And Sean, I'll come to you because he takes a shot. It gets deflected and it spins out towards the right-hand side. And straight away, before the ball even hits, I think it's Luke Shaw. He's like, I know where this ball's going. And Luke Shaw doesn't even try to run, just tries to grab hold of him. Harry Maguire, whoever else, I don't know, all the lads were there. And he's just knows Jeez where that. He's going. He's known Jeez where he's going. That. And Kate is just like, bang, there you go. Right foot in the net. De Gea just doesn't know what to be doing with himself. And that makes it three. And then I'm like, this could be any score, Shani. I genuinely believe this could be any score.
Yeah, we literally looked like we were going to score with every attack, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I was just saying. Just punish these at every single fucking turn. That's what you need to do. And I was watching the match with my brothers and I was like, just keep fucking turning the screw and don't let off. Put your foot on the neck. These are drowning. The ball goes out for a throw in. The camera pans to Harry Maguire. Yeah, who may I add, it looks like I was fucking watching Pro Evo losing 5 on the telly, a big blockhead, square graphics, like PlayStation 2 graphics head on him. Yeah. And I'm thinking, he's literally blowing out of his arse.
Yeah.
He's gasping. He's gasping for air. And I'm like, there's 36 minutes gone in this game and these heads are absolutely
They
done.
Wanted out, mate. So many of them wanted out.
100%.
If you watch the reaction to that tour goal from the United players and then the fourth, which we got on to, the reaction is the hands go up in the air, oh, for fuck, and then after four, well, it's like...
The best one was
they're
like...
This is a joke.
Solskjaer turned into the league and countdown Sesame Street at full time and he asked them about the fucking... They asked... He goes, when we went in 4-0, I knew we needed to score a goal every 15 minutes, and I just didn't think that was going to happen. I was like,
well, that'll only make a 4-3, Ollie. You know what I mean? What are you looking for?
But I was like, am I having a
banking on fairly really point there?
Well. Carol Vorderman's job is safe anyway. I can tell you, Ollie won't be taking that.
Rachel Riley, want to be bleeding, ringing up tomorrow. Job security, make sure everything
just
is on.
Sure,
just want to get onto HR there and check our contract.
About the goals, it's just killer.
It's
killer all over. Cade passes it into the bottom corner. Jota's just there, as Jamie says. Mo's forced one, darts in front of forced touch. The second one, the fourth goal.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. He literally has a gap the size of the ball put in.
I didn't even think that was on. The obvious was to open his body and go the other side.
I thought he was going to take a touch inside and try to put it to the other side. Yeah. But there's a couple of incidents before that, between 3 and 4, right, where I think Ronaldo should be sent off. Then Fred tries to take Kate's head off. And United are just like, you can see them. They're a ticking time bomb. And I'm actually thinking to myself, Henderson standing over the ball, right? I want to get your thoughts on the Ronaldo thing in a sec, but Henderson standing over that free kick nearly at the end of the half, right? And he goes to take it and then he stops and he goes, and I'm thinking the ref's just going to blow here. He's just going to put them out of their misery and we just play it to the left, bang, chip it in, and it falls to Salah. And it's like Jota with the assist. And you're right, Sean, he has such a small thing to hit, an area to hit, and he just I'll put it in there with no effort whatsoever. Keith, should Ronaldo have been sent off? Because I think there's an argument that he could.
I thought so at the beginning. I think on closer look, no, because he doesn't kick Curtis, he just kicks the ball out. I thought he kicked him, do you know what I mean? And he just kicks the ball at him. It's petulant, it's stupid, and I was delighted when I seen it happening. Because he's that talisman. He's, you know, Ronaldo. You have to listen to all the shy from them, Viva Ronaldo and all this other bollocks that they come out with. He's losing his head. And as we touched on earlier, the best thing about it was that we didn't let him, Mr. fucking Billy Big Balls, lay into Curtis while he's on the ground. Our boys were over like a lie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We were in there and it's get the fuck out of here. And Ronaldo cowered.
Yeah.
Well, he cowers away from it.
Van Dijk comes out and is very clever, isn't he? Van Dijk sticks his chest on him.
Yeah.
As if to go, you get the fuck away from here now. And then Konate arrives in the scene and I was even looking going, Van Dijk could get it here. Konate could just start swinging for the fences here. And he'd just take everyone out. You know, Curtis Jones will try to go up off the ground, he'd give him a slap as well. That's how Konate looked. It was ridiculous.
Well, I just thought Ronaldo's reaction was just telling. He shits himself away. Nothing about
him. If fucking Bebop and Rocksteady rocked up to me looking for a knock, I'd be gone. I'd be gone straight away.
I'd be taking the red card out of the ref's pocket and pointing it at myself just to get out of there, to be honest with you.
It was petulant. And I tell you what, it was very clever from Curtis Jones to actually buy the foul, because that's why Ronaldo snapped out, and it was just right in front of the away fans when he buys the foul, and you can just see Ronaldo going, I've had a fucking enough of this. And that was telling. And I was thinking to myself, this is going to be like an Arsenal job here in 8-2. And it was in equal parts as embarrassing for them, because as it got into the second half, Gaff, we just said, hey, do you know what, boys? We have a game on Tuesday. Why don't we just play keep ball for an hour?
More insulting, though. Everything that happened, we basically said, look.
In our WhatsApp group, I was pissing myself laughing.
The napkins, they were waving the white flags. Did you see that?
No.
Anyone see that?
No.
Yeah, there was like a clip after half time, and there was like some elf. Now, he was an older lad, and he's literally had two tissues in his hand.
Fergie.
And he's waving. poor Fergie had to go in at half time and get his nappy changed.
Just Joe, football show, of course, with Joe Wayman. He said, well done. He was so, so happy with that today. And he says, Virgil van Dijk was about to twist Ronaldo up.
Big time.
But like, they couldn't get the half time quick enough, and it was just glorious. And as someone said in their WhatsApp group, the ultimate shame in this is that Liverpool are starting to rest players because we're playing Preston Academicals on Tuesday night. I was in bits laughing at that. And then it was brought back down there because Davo was like, we need a fifth here, lads, at half time. But like, what does Solskjaer do? Like, he goes in, like, what options has he got? Because I don't think he has a lot, you know, to change a game. Sancho's there and, you know, is he going to change it for you? Not on past references. Cavani, no. And it was, I was literally sitting at halftime going, I want eight here. I want seven or eight goals. Yeah, and you know what? Seven. I don't think it's impossible because they will continue to give you chances. And the reason being is because Old Trafford crowd were disgusted at halftime, quite rightfully. But they will still want them to go out and give it everything in the second half, which pushes you up the pitch, which will end up being hurt. Now, I have to give this goal to Jamie, right? Because Mo Salah makes a five. It's a hat-trick. It's 10 games in a row. He scored. He's about 40 goals already this season. It's a joke. Like it, but, like it, oh, there he goes. There's a random one.
Like
it's in his head.
Okay. Like it,
go on,
here we go. Salah scored 10 in a row. There you go. A bit of status quo in the head, today. You know, for some reason.
But we come out and you're thinking, we're 4-0 up, you know, keep it tight, whatever, get through 15 minutes, don't give them anything to sniff at. And they just rob the ball, and Henderson hits a ridiculous pass. A ridiculous pass through. Salah gets on it, takes a first touch, takes a second, and I think nearly gives the keeper a chance, and then just goes, fuck off, and bangs it in and chips it in the corner and just runs off as if to go, this is a joke. And it's five then, and Jamie, like, there's people streaming out of the stadium, and it's just joyous. It's absolutely unbelievable.
There was so much to love about it. The way that Pogba comes on, thinking he's the big man, look, man to the rescue, and we just swarm him. We swat him away. We win the ball back high. I think it was Keita and Henderson. And then Henderson, who, look, not been bang at it this season, I think it's fair to say. He's not looked like himself. He's not been full of confidence.
Correct.
That pass, technically, is so difficult to execute. Outside of the boot, to make the ball spin and check into the path of Mo, it was like Sturridge and Gerrard link up a couple of years ago with Fulham away. Like, technically, that is, if that was, you know, a more creative player, lads have got the flute in their hand, you know, people would be talking about it for weeks. But because it's Hendo and people say he only passes sideways, not.
Bruno passing that to Ronaldo. Yeah. Like, Martin Toyle would be getting peeled out of the country.
100%.
Absolutely. It was an unbelievable pass. But the thing about Mo is, when he's going in, and like you said, Gav, he took a really poor second touch. I thought the chance had gone. And then if you actually watch the replay back, he's not working in any space. There's no space between him and the keeper. And he just manages to lift it out of the keeper's range in the most arrogant, confident way. He is walking around with plums the size of watermelons at the moment. He thinks he can do no wrong.
He's studying goalkeepers, Jamie, and I'm convinced of it, because goalkeepers will tell you.
You think De Gea goes narrow when
De Gea always comes narrow with his foot. Always comes narrow with his foot, as if to say, I'm just going to make this wall in front of you. He doesn't kind of, his arms don't, usually an arm will come
up. He didn't lift it high.
But he's usually narrow with his foot forced. And I think Salah's studying them, because you'll hear goalkeepers all the time saying, I study forwards when they take that touch. I know they're going to go here, there. And I think he's studying to the point where he goes, I know I can get really close here. He doesn't advance an awful lot to get it. And when I need to hit it, I need to lift it.
But the poor touch forced De Gea to come out as well. Do you remember last year he scores against Dean Henderson when he goes through very similar, and Dean Henderson moved away and gave him the whole side of the goal to show
that. Away end when that went in.
There's one moment in the first half where I actually think De Gea handles the situation very well, where the ball breaks and you're just waiting for De Gea to come and he doesn't, and Salah has like a half chance. And he
is that the one when he goes down the Rashford pass?
He made Mo make his own mind up there in that instance. And I was just thinking, like, the second touch from Salah is atrocious, but he just knows. Like, he's a fella, he's mercurial at the moment. Like, it's that 17, 18 kind of form again where you just think every time he gets the ball, something is going to happen. And every
is it 14 in 10 now? 14 goals in 10 games, is it?
Yeah, I think it's like ridiculous. 15 goals and 7 assists in the last 13 appearances or something. Like, it's a fella literally, and look, I don't give a shit about all the contract stuff or anything. Just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
If it ended tomorrow, the next day, two seasons down the road, you're witnessing the greatest Liverpool player of the Premier League era that we've had in the Premier League. And I don't think there's any
doubt. In terms
on top of that, If you look at Salah, right, and I think you're right, the best, right? I don't even think it's a question now. But if you look at the Liverpool team, right, you've got arguably the best right back in the world. You've got Van Dijk, who is the best centre back in the world. Alisson, is right back to his best. You all right, Gav?
No, I'm just reading the thing from Sam Tandy here. He says, what? Dean Henderson was closer to that Salah goal last season today and he was sitting on the bench. Sorry, Jamie, I couldn't stop that.
No worries. No, you're just saying, like, if you actually break it down.
15 goals and 5 assists in 12 games he has.
10 goals and 9 in the Premier League.
Yeah. It's outrageous, lads. But even you look at this Liverpool team now, and I think it was Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Rap tweeted something that this is the best Liverpool team that you'll see or you will have seen. And when you actually break down the side, Salah is the best player in the world. How often have Liverpool been able to say we have the best current player in the world in their ranks? But then if you actually look at the best player per position, Van Dijk's the best centre-back. Trent is the best offensive fullback in the world. Robbo, equally so on the left. Fabinho, defensive midfield. You know, look, you're looking at an incredible football team.
Yeah.
That just, for me, still doesn't get his flowers. And it frustrates me a bit 100%. Because you look at what Klopp is achieving with this Liverpool team and has done on, look, I'm not going to say a shoestring budget because it's disrespect to clubs that are obviously, you know, working with less.
Actual shoestrings.
But comparatively speaking to who we have to go toe-to-toe with, which is Manchester City, who, let's be honest,
and Manchester United,
they're playing a different game to us. And I just think what we're doing and what we're building and the fact that this team, everyone said the front three had gone. Everyone said the legs in the front three had gone. There's so much life left in this Liverpool team. I think we can go for another 2 seasons with this squad, maybe add 1 or 2. For as long as Jurgen Klopp is at this club, Liverpool will be right up there challenging for all the big pots of silver.
Aid D says the travelling cop was brilliant too. And I've put that message up there because A, they're right. And B, the chance coming out of United that 3-0 down, I think it was. And you know the ones that they are.
The usual.
They were heard clearly on television, are a disgrace. And every time I hear them, I'll tell you that they're a disgrace. But you know, the victim stuff that came out of Old Trafford today, not from everyone at Old Trafford, but by a certain part of them that could be heard on TV, as usual, was a disgrace and should stop. And you know, Liverpool fans got berated earlier on the season for a certain chant, and quite rightfully so. And they've stood up and taken her on the chin and don't do it anymore. So I just wanted to say that because, I, you know, there's losing football games and then there's resorting to that for me, and I don't think it's right. So, but AD, you're dead right. The travelling cop was absolutely utterly brilliant.
You can't legislate for fucking arseholes, Gaff.
You can't legislate for arseholes, but there was enough of them there tonight or today.
It wasn't the small minority.
Yeah, you could hear it clearly on the TV. I think it might have been actually why Kate was on the ground injured that I heard it first.
But you know what? How bad is it that that's
when
all
he's
they've
on
got?
When
that's
he was all on injured, got 3-0. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, go on.
That's all. I was just saying, Gav, that's all they've got, mate. Like, how bad of a day must it be that's their highlight is yeah. digging up shite like
I'll
that?
I'll tell you one thing. The match director today for Sky was definitely a scouser. There's no doubt about it. Like Jay was saying, the little things, they were flashing up. There was one of them where, like, McKenna, Carrick and Solskjaer, they're all looking at each other. It's like something about Laurel and Hardy film. Like, if it was in black and white and they were playing the music, you'd be thinking, what's going to happen here in the next scene? And then they cut up the Fergie and then they cut the Dalglish breaking up on his lap.
Couldn't have been any better.
They pan out on a drone and literally the stadium is emptying. It's emptying. Today was poetic. It was actually poetic and I'm fucking delighted that we have thumped them, because one thing we haven't really done since Klopp took over is give them a good fucking rogering, and that's exactly what happened today. We absolutely blew the back out of them in their own backyard, and it was sort of like, this is the level you want to get there. You can spend as much money as you fucking like, but you are not on their level at the moment. And it was just I can't wait to go and watch it. I hope your man Goldstein is on Talksport. He is on.
Who's that?
How many times could you have been watching it today?
Somebody in Chile owns the right to that music. We're going to get done.
Sorry, that was just me humming, Gav. Don't worry about it.
Jamie's interpretation.
Don't worry about it.
Goldstein is probably eating his Mickey Live on air as we speak.
Yeah. Well, it's Keith's turn to get paid this week, so it'll be all over his wage this week.
All right, send all your yeah, send all your lawsuits to Gavin Doyle.
Yeah, or the Buddha vouchers to keep this week because
can we talk about Paul Scaldini as young one's toes?
No, we can't. I don't want
to.
It's not alleged. It can't be allegedly.
No, I just don't want to talk about it. It's fucking mental. I want to talk about Paul Pogba though, because like he comes on and he's
Segue.
Paul, ever the professional.
Yeah. But Paul Pogba comes on at half time, and I couldn't believe he was coming on because one player you don't want when the chips are down for me and you're 4-0 down, and you know, there's a chance that you might have to run up the pitch and run back the other way because the team are going to hit you on the break is Paul Pogba. But Shawnee, I've seen some clips of United fans that are doing watch alongs and stuff like that, and I've seen one in particular going, "The game is gone, it's not a red card." That is a fucking red card. Every day of the week and twice on Sunday, Johnny.
Yeah, in fairness, you shouldn't be eating your daughter's toenails in a hotel room. Anyway, that's definitely a red card offence.
Okay.
It was a challenge. It was, I want fucking hour here challenge. It was weak from Pogba. That was Paul Pogba's Manchester United career just summed up.
Yeah.
And he goes off the pitch laughing. This is a fella who knows he can talk to any club in the world come January, and let's be honest,
he's out of contract in 7-8 months time.
Let's be honest, they'll be in for him because
the most frustrating player in the world, he's so much talent and doesn't bother his bollocks.
He needs to go to
a PSG for me. I
wouldn't be following Pogba into battle, and I wouldn't want him to be following me through the trenches. And it's an awful fucking tackle. I really do hope Naby's all right. I believe Klopp said after the game that it's not too bad and you look fine in the dressing room. Yeah. But it was a cop-out by Pogba, a complete and utter cop-out. And he doesn't even have the gall to leave the pitch. Like,
a bit of shame.
If he went off and he's shaking his head and he's fuming and you can see, I've had enough and I just had to put a tackle in here. He's laughing. He's walking off. And it kind of summed them up. And he's supposed to be one of their generals, and he cannot be trusted. And the fella is going to walk out of club for the second time for nothing. And it just shows one thing. They were completely wrong to ever bring him back in the first place.
He's one of the major problems. That's what he is.
Yeah. They threw Alex Ferguson's judgment and decision right back in his face by ever bringing him back. And by paying the money that they paid.
90 million, what record fee at the time. So
he hasn't turned up. He goes away for France and he looks a world beater. How the fuck can you hang your coat on this fella? Honestly, I wouldn't trust him to get out of the shop.
We're having the same conversation about him. It's been 4 years.
I literally wouldn't trust him to go down the shop and get me a fucking litre of milk and a paper because he's just completely inept, untrustworthy. And I'm delighted because it's the midfield version of Ronaldo. It's another fella. Oh, look how good Pogba is. And do you know what? He's going to go Real Madrid or Barcelona and he'll rip it up wherever he goes.
Yeah, but he wants to be in a team that dominates a game, possession and territory, because he wants to stand in a certain square footage of the pitch and play football. He doesn't want to run around and he doesn't want to tackle.
He's a talented fair-weather footballer.
He's a talented
player. He needs to play for the best team in whatever league he's playing in.
And he also needs
a
team completely and utterly built around him that gives him the least responsibility possible.
I think it says more about Solskjaer bringing him on for Greenwood at half-time.
Yeah.
Like, how silly can you be? Like, this is not a fella you want on the pitch when the chips are down. You want the young lads who come through the academy and are actually playing with a bit of
fire
in that belly. Like, you know what I mean?
Greenwood would have been their best player.
The reason he takes him off, Greenwood off, and put Pogba on is he tries to go three in midfield or he tries to do something. Never reckons a diamond. I didn't see it. But, if to be honest with you, if he's going to do that, and this isn't a shout like by me just for the sake of it, you take Ronaldo off. And you go 4-3-3 and you take him off. You leave the young lads on because Ronaldo was doing nothing for them. Wasn't running, wasn't pressing, wasn't hurrying, wasn't holding the ball, wasn't doing nothing for them. So it was one of those.
This is the big thing that's fucking annoying me about. And do you know what? I think we should move off these shower of shites after this and start talking about something else. Probably go back on the pod scouts.
I was hoping to bring that back up because I'm not all right with it. Gav's not listening, so go ahead. Let's go on to it now.
They're all going on about, like, Ronaldo coming in and this being a problem. That's Ronaldo has been that way fucking before he left United. So yeah. Wayne Rooney and Carlos Tevez used to do as doggies for him when they were all in that prime. You're going to expect players with half of the quality of the fellas who used to carry him to do the same thing. It's not going to fucking happen. We're getting to the stage now where the lunatics will be running the asylum at Manchester United. And the fact he brings Pogba on there today shows you that it's gone further and further deeper there. I honestly can't see. When's the next international break?
2 weeks' time.
Yeah, he's gone by then.
Already?
Is it? We got another one.
I think I don't know. We play Brighton next.
We're only played back.
He'll be gone. He'll be gone by then. He will be gone by then because
I don't know. I think they keep him.
You've seen Sancho, and do you know what? I'm delighted for him as well. Hungry little fucker. Taking his 350 grand a week. What could have been?
No
you
hunger.
Know what I mean?
No hunger.
There you go. Anything. And I just, players like Bellingham and all should be watching this with a keen eye and telling their fucking agents, listen, this is not what I want. I want to develop and become a footballer of the highest level because Sancho is so fucking talented and he's sitting there today and he doesn't get a kick. And what
they broke him already.
A penny for his thoughts. I'd imagine if you had to get offered him a toy machine and say, you're going to take 125 and you'll be in and out of Liverpool's 11 sporadically, but you'll be playing for Jurgen Klopp and you'll be playing for the top honours. Fuck them right, they will. And again, it's coming back to bite United. And I could not be happier with how today played out. I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going to do, but I'm going to watch the highlights. I'm repeat into the early hours of the morning and let's see.
Clouding optional.
Yeah. Well, look, Keith, look, each to their own.
I'm not judging you, Sean. I'm not a judger. I'm not a judger, pal. It's, we're all in it together. Cheers.
Fuck all them United pricks.
You've moved on from the old vodka and Red Bull there, Keith. You've gone to the beers?
Gone to the beers, instead of getting
up. I have to go in and get another can now, so I want to ask you a question. The tree is going to take
when you go, we're going to talk about skulls.
We'll talk about that.
That's whatever question you want.
I wanted to ask you about the fact that at 5-0 after 65, 70, wherever it was, we just took our foot off the gas. Is that a deliberate thing where you just say, look, we've games coming up and this is a real chance in a game we didn't expect to be able to absolutely rest people and I don't know what I'm saying. Let's talk about whatever you want to go.
At one stage, Curtis Jones and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain were like Xavi and Iniesta bleeding 25 passes to each other, just racking them up.
I would have liked us to see us put 7, 8, 9 past them, but I just think it was sort of like it's the maturity of this team to say we're going
to
just
push it. Yeah,
but as I said to you before, it's the ultimate insult. It's the ultimate insult.
This is irrelevant.
Basically, we decided at their place that we're just going to keep the ball, and I think there was about it felt like 15 minutes where they didn't touch the football. We literally just he's gone now. Can we talk about the post goals thing or what?
Yeah, but what's going on there, boys?
With Paul's goals.
On what's the context? Like, where would that?
There's no
ever
context
to
point yet. The fella was on about 150 grand for a decade. Where are the fucking nail clippers?
Exactly.
but he's
on it more than our knockers and all, and fucking Instagram and all, isn't he? He's a bit weird. It's a bad week for Scalzi.
Like, I'll be honest. If my missus, if my daughter,
what he said,
Instagram, she put with a baps out. Look at Gav's face now when he puts his headphones back in here. Now he's fuming.
After the fifth goal, it did slow down, and he did just take
a fall. No, we controlled the game well, Gav. What do you think? Oh, your mic's still off.
I have this timestamp so I can go back and edit it out. Doesn't matter.
You can't look the thousand or so people hear that saying, look, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not even an alleged. He has to own it.
Exactly.
It's great.
I'd be more worried about the Instagram comments. That's worse than the toe thing. Maybe they were out of clippers and he was just being a dutiful dad, but the Instagram comment things was bizarre. If your daughter has got her boobs out and trying to look all seductive, you don't put fire emojis and saying you're on fire, girl. Like, that's not where you
need to get a blade cardigan on you now or I'll box the head off you. That's what you say in the old days.
That Scholes is like this, the most understated professional of all time during his playing career. And ever since he's retired,
such a shy bag.
It's just mad, yeah.
It's probably bleeding good that he didn't have social media when he, because he would have probably been sent away and locked up after a long 100%.
Time. Well, Red Steve says, lads, Harry Maguire is a millionaire and cuts his own hair. I swear.
Harry Maguire looks like he cuts his hair a Rubik's Cube.
It does.
Went to Rude Van Nistelrooy's barber.
But look, lads, it's a brilliant win. It's not only a brilliant 3 points, and there was definitely pressure on us coming in today after Chelsea win and City win. And like I think what Shani said earlier, with their win, you know, you see that gap starting to open up already after 9 games. And the reason it's opening up is because these 3 teams in particular just are holding themselves to a ridiculously high level and they're not letting off whatsoever. So I wanted to get man of the match. I wanted to talk to you about the League Cup in midweek and the next league game and stuff like that. And what does this mean today for both sides? Keith, I'll come to you. Loads of questions there.
Questions. So, man of the match, Mo Salah. Mo Salah is the best player in the world. Mo Salah is the greatest Premier League player we've ever had. He's better than what Steven Gerrard was for us, as much as that's hard. Sorry, Jamie, I'm sure. Mo Salah is fast becoming Liverpool's greatest ever player. Sean, you touched on whatever happens with the contract situation, just enjoy him while he's here, because what we have is a player who loves this club, who was putting us on his shoulders. And we're not a basket case. We're a good, good team. And he has decided there's a vacuum here for the best player in the world, and I'm taking that. And he's putting it on his back. And every week you're expecting this from him. That's, you know, 10 games in a row that he scored in. He scored in excellent goals. He scored in poacher goals. I've been critical of him in the past where I felt he's been a bit too wasteful. He's not wasteful anymore. He's getting chances and he's lethal. Do you know what I mean? And I just can't see. He gets a hat-trick today at Old Trafford. You know, let's not play that. Bobby got a hat-trick last week against Watford. Mo Salah gets man of the match because he scores a worldie. Mo Salah gets a hat-trick today and he sets up Keita for the goal. Amazing. I'm running out of superlatives for him. And I put my hand up, right? I said in the summer, I'd have considered maybe moving him on if he didn't get the contract resolved. Not because of anything about Mo Salah. I think he's brilliant. But I think Liverpool are putting themselves in a position where there's a talent there that we're going to let the contract run down. And Sean, he would have said at the time, like, there's no buyers out there for him. So what's the point in selling him for a pittance? And it's a good point. I've changed now. If he goes for free, he goes for free. I just want to see as much of this fella as I can. I think if we can get through the agent, the issue with that happened with the agent. It's sounding good from what Salah is saying. I'm listening to Salah's sort of words and it's sounding positive. I think he will sign and I would break the bank. I've said all along, you can't break the bank because you're creating a situation like United done with Sanchez. Break the fucking bank. Because if Liverpool let him walk, the owners are in trouble because they've said all along, look, we have a structure, but if the best player in the world becomes available and we can get them, we'll get them. We have the best player in the world. So you can't let him go. You cannot let him walk. So I think it's a sticky wicket for them. They have to, Sean.
There's a whole load of noise about nothing at the moment. The fella's, he's 18 months left on his deal. He literally, like, can you imagine that his agent would have been happy with him turning around and say, I want to stay at Liverpool for the rest of my career? That's not something you do when you're in negotiation. That's just not what you do. This fella knows himself. How important he is to Liverpool, but on the other hand, how important Liverpool is to him. You can see he thrives.
Exactly.
You look at so many players who went away, and the grass is just not greener. He could go to Madrid.
It tells you we're a destination now, though, Shawnee. We're not a stepping stone. That's the big thing.
And the thing is, Jamie, he might go, like Neville said, he might want to go and wear the full white kit in Madrid. He won't be as revered there as he is here. He's God status in Liverpool. He's legend.
I think if he... Like,
living legend while playing and just coming into his prime, playing for Klopp, I'm not panicked about it at all. I'm genuinely... I moaned about the club not signing Wijnaldum up, and I look at him this year and he can't run.
Yeah.
His legs are gone.
They know said exactly that at the time, Sean. He didn't really fall off a cliff, you know what I mean?
What they're doing. If you think that this is about FSG and money, then you're actually silly, because it would cost them more money to replace him than it would to sign him up.
And the risk of that player actually not delivering.
And you need to think that these businessmen think in risk reward, and they know they could spend 40 million on a transfer fee for a fella who might not do it and have to give him 100 grand a week, and then they'll have to do that twice if it doesn't work out. Yeah. So pay cheap.
You end up chasing your tail then, and you're in a spin, exactly, and you're costing fucking millions.
They know that they have him there. This benefits everybody for Mo Salah to stay around, club and player, and I think it will happen.
I think if he signs the contract, he'll become our greatest ever player, because the longevity thing will come into it then. And in this era, I think if he signs a contract and he's here for another few years, I think he becomes our greatest ever player, surpassing Kenny. My opinion, generation.
Yeah, when you were saying before about the Gerrard thing, it's a weird one, because I have this emotional battle. Like, it was always Gerrard and Suarez were the two for me in my
Suarez kind of the era. Conversation for me now.
Yeah, but
not now. But at the point,
at the time, it was always them two. Mo has surpassed Salah, and the longevity thing now is the only thing I think for me that stops him with Stevie. Because I think with Stevie is, you think of, you know, he was playing in a poor side, and he dragged us through, and he delivered in big moments. Think of the moments that Mo's delivered in. He always delivers. It's not just big and moments. That, he just delivers full stop.
People get mixed up with the word best and greatest. Yeah. They're two different things. Like, greatness is encapsulated by when you're gone, what you're going to be remembered for.
Exactly. What do you leave behind?
And Gerrard lifts us to number 5, the Gerrard final. Yeah. Look, listen, he should have left. He was way too good for us. Arguably the best midfielder in the world. Could have went anywhere he wanted and came back. But you look at Mo Salah. He's brought us to every major honour, and he was key every season
throughout,
since.
How
he's carried himself, even now, look at the flip side. Look at Pogba. Look at how he's carrying on at the moment with his contract. Not interested.
Yeah.
People saying Mo's playing because he loves Liverpool. Look at just flashback to last year. A celebration at Old Trafford when it's empty. The passion, how much it means to him. And then you see today, like, we are so lucky, and we spend, there's factions of the fan base that spend so much time picking holes and different players and this and that, and why didn't we do this and why didn't we do that? Just fucking look what you're moaning about. Look at the numbers. Look where we are in the table. We're top of the Champions League group. We're flying
group
in
death,
the Premier League.
Group of death as well. Group.
This is as good as a Liverpool team as you're going to see. It might not get better, but it would definitely get worse. And that's just how good we are at the moment. So just fucking enjoy it. And don't be worrying about factions of the fan base who want to pick sides. Who gives a fuck? They all play Liverpool. They're all wearing the shirt with pride. Just fucking back them. Magic things can happen this year. Genuinely, there's been so many special moments since Klopp came in. We're building up to a crescendo here, I feel, where we could literally win everything.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a fact. I genuinely do. I think when it comes to the business end this year, in May, we will fucking definitely be in the hat. Because we've had injuries this year. But we're winning games, so nobody gives a butt. We've had injuries.
Yeah.
We've been missing players.
Hold on, you're doing a pep talk. I'm a bottle of red wine deep. I'm going to be ringing Goldstein on Talk Sports here and fucking
giving up all sports. I'd stay up all night just so you don't fall asleep and miss that show so you can have a go.
Yeah.
Darius Hoyt with a super chat sitting there a while because these pricks wouldn't shut up. The only player to get a hat-trick at Old Trafford was Ronaldo.
Oh, no. That's
what I said.
The last player, was he? The last player to get a hat-trick
at Old Trafford.
I don't think he's the only one.
Yeah, he might mean the last one.
Yeah, the last one.
They clapped him off the pitch that night, but the fucking stadium was empty. Was empty at 90 minutes today, so I don't think that was ever going to happen.
Well, in fairness, right, the ones that stayed, they clapped Ole off the pitch, which was nice to see.
And I will say one thing. I'll throw it out, and I made my feelings known during the week. I think when Keita was passing by in the stretcher, you could see in the Stretford end, a lot of the United fans were clapping him off the pitch, and that was nice to see. So I hope he is okay. At the end of the day, there's a few decent among the majority of, I won't even say the word what
okay,
they are.
Don't. But look, it's did you all do man of the matches? Or was it just skulls and toes?
Yeah.
Skulls.
I'll give it to
Naby Keita. It was a moment for Naby, wasn't it?
Do I have to go back and edit anything while I've left? Seriously?
No.
Okay.
We spoke more about the Instagram post than the toes.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Right. You're going with Keita. What are you going with, Jamie?
Yeah, I think, yeah, aside from Mo, it would be Naby or Hendo. I think the two of them were the, they were excellent in the middle today. And do you know what, Kay said, you know, I was critical in the week. The one thing you want as a footballer when you've stunk the gaff out is the next game to come
back.
I'm delighted for him that he got his chance today. Look, probably albeit because, you know, we were limited on numbers, but for whatever reason, doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. He went out there and delivered in a big game and had his moment, so couldn't be happier for him. So, yeah, Naby or Hendo, take your pick.
Yeah, I think it's getting to the stage where we go, other than Salah, you started with, but I'm going to give it to Kanate.
Everybody else, does it?
To come in there today, it's forced away start at Old Trafford. I don't care how poor Man United were. Liverpool went and won 5-0, and all you can do is beat what's in front of you, and we did. So I'm going to give it to Kanate because I thought he was very, very impressive, both playing football and just running over to lads as if he was going to kill them, which I'm
fan of all that carry on.
That surprised me because, unlike Keith, I'm only allowed to watch Liverpool games. Otherwise, it's World War III in my house. So I feel like bribe me missus to let non-Liverpool games on. But I hadn't seen much of Kanate coming in. His bravery in possession has surprised me. He seems like a type of player where if you could build a centre-back in a lab, he's kind of got a little bit of everything that you'd want. And seeing him today,
Drago, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not afraid.
What's
that?
Gracious.
Reminds me of Marcel Desailly.
Young Desailly at Marseille or AC Milan, quality.
Just looks like he's always in control of the situation.
Yeah, it was the forward thinking with his passing today. Like he's quite comfortable to step between the lines with the ball at his feet, or he'll look. It might not always come off, but he's got his head up and he's looking to play forward all the time. And with a team like Liverpool and the attacking threat we've got, it's a big plus.
It's a huge plus.
God, we're in Liverpool next weekend, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
Holy Jesus.
What's the plan, lads?
The Brighton lads will know that we won 5-0 on Trafford, I can tell you.
But someone want to ring Ron Massey because I'm probably going to need a coffin on Monday morning. I'd say.
Ron Massey, that's right. That's it, John Ambulance.
Pick you up from the bow.
I have a contact for John Ambulance there as well. The Order of Malta. Anyone from the Order of Malta fancy coming over with us?
On standby. Do a bit of CPR.
No, myself, Shawnee and Andy are over there next week. We arrive on Saturday morning into Liverpool and we leave on Sunday night. So if anyone fancies an early point on Saturday morning, let me know because I'm literally getting out of playing. Asking the hotel to take your bag, and then I'm going to the nearest public. No, I'm going to Shiraz for my breakfast, and then I'm going to the nearest public and find, which will probably be about 9 o'clock Saturday morning. And from there on in, it's all bets are off, as they say. It's the first time being in Liverpool since COVID has come along and is trying to
make up for it.
Disappear. So, I think we've scheduled one stop back in the hotel to get changed so we can just go back out.
Andy built the agenda already, didn't he, Gav?
He did build the agenda, but I insisted on Shiraz for breakfast. I insisted on a certain pub for the first point. And then I did promise him that I'd bring him up to see Anfield at 12 o'clock. I'm going to bring up the hat, scarf, and a badge and buy him something as well. We're going to have a lovely time. That's all I'm going to say. So if anyone's around Liverpool next week, feel free to let us know where you are and we'll absolutely join you for a point, whether that be in the city centre early on or up near Anfield from about 12 onwards. So
if anyone has a Smeg toaster, feel free to make toast for Andy and bring it down to him because I don't think he'll eat in Shiraz or anywhere that Gav wants to bring him.
He said he will eat in Shiraz. He's good with Shiraz.
We're staying on till 11:30. We've done loads of an hour and a half podcast. I'm going to set up a GoFundMe for Pod's Golds' daughter and get her in nail clippers. That's all right.
She has one already.
Gav, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your daughter was on Instagram and she put pictures up with her jugs out, what type of comments would you be making as a parent, as a father?
There wouldn't be a comment. It'd be just me giving her a slap across the back of the head.
Old school fucking Angela's Ashes
In fairness, my daughter's nearly 9 and she doesn't have Snapchat or Instagram or anything like that, but she fucking loves herself. She goes on like Shawnee's met her, and I think Shawnee's met her. Paddy definitely has. Davo, she once gave first aid to Davo when he put a nail through his foot when we were building the studio. So she's raced Paddy to a spar to see how much sweets he could buy. But she goes on like a 16-year-old. You know, like it's actually scary. Like, I think you have a daughter that's not much younger than that.
Yeah, my daughter's twerking and all sorts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's all sorts going on. Well, I
over 23.
Well,
I've been the
mother of a father for that.
You'd get the Angela's
ashes
if you want it.
You know, but look, I don't know. Like, we all say we would do this and we would do that, but like, I'm worried. Like, my daughter's 9 next, the week after next, and like, she literally looks at me as if to say, would you ever fuck off away from me whenever I open my mouth? You know what I mean? So, it's one of those, but.
Keith, you're looking well for having a 23-year-old daughter.
I know, I just thought I'd drop that in there, Jay. You know what I mean? 23. People think I'm 20. You have a 23-year-old daughter, yeah? People think I'm like only 27. I'm not. Or am I? Was I only 3 or 4 when I had her? It's not the boys that do the hard work.
Was I only 3 or 4 when I had her?
You're in bit early, Keith. I love it.
That's it. Most fair to a man in Ireland.
There you go.
If people think, I'll tell you something. The National Council for the Blind must be fucking watching this.
This is a choice. This is a lifestyle choice, right? This isn't falling out. This is just closely cropped, if anyone asks.
A lifestyle choice.
For,
yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, we're going to Liverpool next week and we're going to have a lovely time.
Love it.
So, yeah, it's all good. I just have to see what forms we have to bring with us now. My wife was travelled for the first time.
No, you don't have to, mate. There's nothing. You're good. My mum came over to Dublin and well, you're all good.
My wife went to Liverpool. She went to Heathrow, London, on Wednesday. She said, Dublin Airport, not a problem. She had all her forms. On the way back, in Heathrow, they looked for the COVID cert, and they looked for some sort of return cert that you had to do, a health cert. A second health cert to go with the COVID thing. Yeah, she was asking.
This is turning into the fucking Neffit pod. Can we start talking?
Yeah,
Flipping into a few United pricks.
Yeah, away. Well, you can. You do what you want. Shiny started to sway in that chair. That's just
funny.
Yeah,
you're getting
all
is that your third whiskey since we've been on, Shawnee? Because I'll be honest, mate, I've polished off a bottle of red here.
It's still the
commitments.
You don't ever let it get to the bottom, so that way it's still only ever the fourth one. So I've only had one.
And reckons that Keith was fostering kids when he was 9.
There you go. And, you know, still not the worst parent out there because Paul Scholes is around, so there you go. It is what it is.
No, but out straight, wasn't it? Like, it was great seeing the boys gang up on Neville today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was brilliant. Yeah. Because, do you know what?
Was, himself, though.
He does. He's so critical of everyone else, and he will not criticise his mates. And it's beautiful when he gets put on the blading spot like that.
Yeah, and I'm with Jamie. Like, there is a part of me that does kind of respect that, you know what I mean? And I agree with what he says. He is consistent in that sense because he backed Wenger and he said, I'd never go on a show and say that a manager should be sacked and this, that, and the other. But it's even during the commentary there, you could see he was trying to weave narratives and United were just playing their way out of him. So he was like, I can't say this about the players, I can't say this about the coach. Or he's being proactive, he's bringing Pogba on, Pogba gets sent off. Laugh and going off, then you bring him back into the studio, and then you have like he's asking Souness for the answers, and Souness is like, if I had the answers, I wouldn't give them to you. And I want this horse to play on, like, you know what I mean?
But the problem with Neville is he won't have a go at Solskjaer, right? He won't have a heavy go at him. Now he's saying there's problems there, and but he's having a go at players, and he's having a go at owners, and but you see the thing is, and then he gets the cob on when. Souness and Carragher were taking the piss, in fairness. They were sitting beside each other nearly fucking, you know, tapping each other going, wait, I'll say this.
Yeah, one. They do well, you know, in our WhatsApp group, them two today. Yeah, we've got someone on the hook here.
Yeah, they were absolutely like nailing them. But the thing was, they turned around and said, look at this. He showed three instances, Souness, and said, look at this, and this. Are you telling me that they're being coached to do that? His coaches are meant to be world class. He came out and said his coaches are world class. And what is this? And Neville turns around and says, well, everyone's going to get a bit of thing. You're going on about the things here now, the coaches. And I could see Souness's face going, well, are we not allowed to say about anything about anyone now? Because you won't do anything to the manager. And you don't want us to say anything about the coaches. You just want us to go have a go at these players that, by the way, you tipped to finish ahead of Liverpool this season.
Yeah.
Right? And the owners who brought you Varane, who brought you Sancho, and who brought you Cristiano Ronaldo. It's the
Souness and Carragher were like two sharks, weren't they? They were bleeding, circling them.
I thought your man David Jones was brilliant today. I felt like
he's a Liverpool fan, so
he was playing David's advocate, but he was hanging him out to dry at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? He said to him, And at 5-0 apart from to get out of the stadium, what were you thinking? And you could see Neville like going, oh my, I'm getting stitched up the bits here. But look, Neville is literally just reaping what he sowed now. I think on Monday Night Football, the Arsenal-Villa game, he was like, these are a mad bunch. These will go and beat Liverpool now on Sunday, I'm sure of it.
Carragher tweeted it before. What he
and
said.
Then he's saying at 4-0, this was coming. This was coming.
But if people aren't getting onto it now, Shawnee, that this guy flip-flops, like he changes his tune literally every week and just
he's
hopes
emotional.
That people don't realise it.
He has the same emotional intelligence as me, but he's played 400-odd Premier League games. You'd think he'd know better. Like, you know what I mean? And I hate Neville. I do. And I've never made that a secret. I genuinely do. I cannot stand him. This champagne socialist shite that he goes on, he was a good player in a brilliant team.
Yeah,
he was a shite manager, a terrible manager. And he's a sporadic fucking chairman at Salford because he's wielding the axe and doing whatever he wants there because he got the most money. At the end of the day, I think he talks way too much when he's emotional. Mark my words, we'll win a title before Liverpool and Salah will leave, trust me.
He goes into fan mode. When it's United, he struggles. It's like me with Liverpool. Sometimes if you prod me enough, I turn into a prick. It's one of those.
But it goes beyond that because what happens is he does go into fan mode, right, where he gets territorial over it and that sort of way, and that's fine. But he couples that with like Shani says, too much emotion, all right, and becomes far too defensive.
Yeah.
And he can't find the words to talk about Manchester United other than reverting into a fan type, persona. He can't actually do it. If you look at him, he cannot do it.
I'll
just blame him. Listen, you get beaten at 5-0 at home, the last thing that's the problem is the owners. That's the last thing in your mind. And he tried to do. You know, he gets way too emotional. He gets way too defensive. And his professionalism drops massively when it comes to Manchester United.
Yeah. But Carragher's the same a bit with Liverpool, to be honest.
Yeah, but
Carragher over the years.
I have no problem with that.
I think Carragher, ever since the Spygate and all of that, I think he's become a little bit of a company man.
He tries
too much now to be anti-Liverpool at some point, and it comes across like you don't really mean that when you say that, you know what I mean, sort of thing. And the thing, like, Sky had fallen on a really good thing with the pair of them there, but they've got to be careful now because, like Jamie said earlier, literally every time Neville opens his mouth now, he's losing credibility because you know yourself he doesn't really think that, and he can't really say what he says because he's being loyal to a mate. But it's going to be interesting because I don't think whoever replaces Neville, whoever replaces Solskjaer as gaffer, I don't think they're going to be good enough to reach the level that this Liverpool and City team are at. And that's just being, because I genuinely think that these are two of the best Premier League sides that we've ever seen.
With two of the best managers, and that's the key. Well,
I'd be interested to see now if Solskjaer did go and you brought in, say, a Conte.
I'm only throwing it out there, Conte.
I think he's absolutely saying that. I think he's absolutely hanging on for that job as much as he possibly can.
I think he'd be perfect for what they need now.
It's what their philosophy is, and it's two or three years then. Good luck. But what
they
I want to say
Milan
is,
because they turned around and said, "We're selling Lukaku," and then he goes, "Well, then I'm gone."
Yeah,
he's not gonna.
He's not there for a project. I'm just throwing that name out there. What I'm saying is, I'd be interested to see if Ole's going to Solskjaer left United tomorrow, Monday, and Conte was going on Tuesday. And a year's time, Conte has beaten heavily at home by Man City or Liverpool, for argument's sake. And it's we're back in the same situation. I'd be very interested to see what Gary Neville and Rio Ferdinand and wherever
else
say about.
He doesn't understand the values.
Yeah, there you go. They want him out the door, wouldn't they? So it's actually not about. It's not about football and ability anymore. It's not being a pundit anymore. It's being a me.
If Conte goes in there, it'll be interesting to see how Harry Maguire gets on as the captain of Newcastle because he's out the gap as soon as he comes in.
Nailed it. And Jamie, I know you've been a fan of Maguire in the past, with our England hat on. I get that.
Oh, I don't say England hat on here.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, but you did rhyme. Is it fair
to say
that?
Yeah, no, I did. No, I think it's fair to say. I think he's regressed massively. I think he's regressed massively. But it
not
did.
To dig it out, and I think the 80 million fucking price tag, and Keith hit the nail on the head there, a competent manager is going to come in there and look at him and go, what if you're the fucking problem?
Yeah.
Because he's terrible.
But you know what the problem is with him, Shawnee? It's a bit of the Lovrens, right? They've shoehorned him in and tried to make him this captain, this leader. I think he's a second centre-back. I don't think he's a dominant centre-back.
I would have Lindelof at Liverpool before him.
Boys, can we do a little five-minute quiz here, right?
Yeah.
Because I've done a bit of prep on this.
Oh.
Pick any Premier League team. Gav, pick any Premier League team.
Just for the sake of it.
Yeah, just pick any team. Pick any team.
I'll pick Carbonell.
Yeah, Colin out.
Arsenal,
right. Ben White, Gabriel, Pablo Mari, Holding. Does Harry Maguire start in their centre of defence? In this version of Harry Maguire, not the one that may have been good once.
Yeah, I'd put him in the middle of a three.
Yeah.
No, but think of a two. Think of a two. We'll just think two, right? Even though they play three. If you go with a classic two, right, does he start in that defence?
I wouldn't put him ahead of Gabriel or Ben White, to be honest.
Neither would I.
I don't know. I think people are losing the fact that these players are suffering massively from the fella that's putting them on the pitch.
I also think United's midfield is toxic as well.
Am I being a bit biased here if I say that Harry Maguire would be our fifth choice centre back?
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. No, I think he's on the par with Nat Phillips. And that was the point of me doing this exercise. I wrote down four centre backs for every Premier League team, right?
Well, when?
Give me a team. Just a few minutes ago. Give me a team, Jamie.
Outside the top four now.
Go for it.
That's like Rain Man.
Leicester. Well, Leicester have Soyuncu, Fofana, Vestergaard, Evans. Would he play for Leicester now? Not a chance would he get in that Leicester team now. Even in fact, I'd say he'd be the fifth choice centre-back in that team.
Oh, I think that's putting it a stretch.
He left and got better.
I agree with Jamie in the sense that he's probably being let down by the system. Because if you looked at him at Leicester, he did look like a good player.
He did look like in a certain system. I agree with that. And at this moment in time, you're taking a broken player now. But we won't go through every Premier League team. But my reckoning, right? I have him starting for Watford, Norwich, and Newcastle.
If you look at him for England in a good team with good players,
he makes mistakes every game.
He's been poor. He's regressed massively.
I don't think he's fit either. I think that's Solskjaer again putting him on a pitch when he's not fit.
But that's people say he's good with the ball at his feet. It was like Semtex at his feet today. it was like playing Bruce Willis and Die Hard 2 going around with the ball at his feet. Did you ever see what a bit when they're trying to get it out of phone box? He was running around going, I just need to get rid of this. I don't want this
but
name.
He's trying to be like Lovren used to try. Yeah. You know when we bought him, you're going to be our leader.
Go on. Virgil van Dijk has ruined football.
Yeah, he has.
Because if you're gonna spend that money on a centre-back, you better be fucking good. And when they brought it, Varane comes in, that's the van Dijk signing. No, it's not.
I would just stop for the ages. Van Dijk is Varane is terrible.
Varane is not terrible, guys.
He is. He's so overrated. It's untrue.
Varane is another second centre back. That's the problem there, because Varane was the sideman to Sergio Ramos, Francie was a sideman to centre backs, and now he's the sideman to Maguire, who's actually a sideman. Realistically, he's a sideman as well, and that's the problem they have. They don't have a leader. They've got Varane, who is a good player, is quick. But he needs a dominant player beside him. Dave Maguire, who's the same, and Dave Lindelof, who's actually the same as well. Like, Lindelof isn't much off Harry Maguire, if I'm being honest.
Marcus Barnes says, if Gerrard is managing us and doing as bad as Ole, Carroll would be no different to Neville. He would never demand his mate to be sacked. That's 100% true.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
But that's where the issue is. Be a pundit or don't. You know what I mean? The best thing he could do then is turn around and say, look, I can't do United games anymore. And I can't comment on Manchester United anymore, because I'll tell you why. I'm not actually giving my opinion. What I'm doing is I'm standing up for me, mate. I'll put it to this way. If Jurgen Klopp was doing as badly at Liverpool as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was doing now, Would Neville, as a pundit, turn around and go, he's been brilliant in the past.
He said Liverpool were broken, Gav. He said there was something off with Liverpool.
That's what I'm saying. He's not being a pundit. He's just being me or you defending on me. It's actually bringing no value to what they're trying to do, in my opinion. But
the media tried to get on Klopp. The media tried to run down Klopp when, as soon as he went in there, there was a load of shit about Klopp, you know, and his record and this and that, and no better than Brendan Rodgers after so many games.
See, now is the media have been like eerily silent about Liverpool at the moment because they're like going, like, I think the beast might be starting to go.
Yeah.
The machine is starting to click
these
again.
Fuckers,
like,
they're oiling up.
Nobody cares about
Chelsea. They all
had
us third and fourth in their top four predictions and all that.
And they're going to be like,
some of them haven't got us in the top four.
It's basically a realisation that Liverpool are doing 90 plus this year.
We're oiling up the machine like Scholesy oils up his daughter's feet with
Michael. I think Bajan Pops put a great shout in the chat there, like saying, United have signed Robin defenders, but they need a Batman. And that's a great shout. There is. For me, United's two best centre-halves are Boye and Varane, and that would be the two that are on.
I agree with that.
One of them didn't cost 80 million. Do you know what I mean? So this is the problem now.
They backed themselves into a corner with it now.
Yeah,
the price
big
pack.
Time. Yeah.
Similar with Pogba. They made a move and they didn't think of the fit or the style of player, the player they were bringing in. They just had to make a statement. And that's what they've been doing now for 10 years. Trying to make statement after statement, and everything is backfiring on them. It's great to see, let's be honest.
By the way, just quickly, right? We're talking about Batman and Robin defenders. And it's probably been spoken about on podcasts. But again, I don't think enough is being made of Virgil van Dijk has had a horrific injury. And you said it before, Shawnee, this guy has redefined what it means to play centre-back. This guy, it's actually ridiculous, lads. He's into the team. He's not missing games. And he's just exactly what he was. Well, look, actually, he's not exactly what he was, but he's still comfortably better than every other centre-back, even at this level, despite
the planet.
Do you know when the season starts and people just say to you, you kind of look at after 10, 15 games and it starts to take shape? I pay no attention to Virgil van Dijk till 10 or 15 games into this season.
Yeah.
And then you'll see him back because he's back. He's not the same human as anybody, as any footballer I've ever seen. He's just ridiculous. He's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. And you know something? He walked off that pitch today, and it's a good thing to try bring this to a close. He walked off the pitch today.
It's a bank holiday, Gav. We're on a rush. It's a bank holiday.
The Liverpool match is being replayed here in 10 minutes on LFC TV.
Doesn't matter. It's a bank holiday.
Well, listen, I don't care. I'm
about one glass of red wine away from playing True for Dairy.
Right, okay. I'll tell you what then. Just let me make this point. Shani, hold on. Let me make this point. I'll go and get another can. I'll just go and get another can. And then
it's a great comment in the chat there, right?
Boy, who?
Boy, the ever knowledgeable Kev O'Sullivan.
He is actually the most knowledgeable of this parish, in my opinion.
I'd throw that line as well.
What's he say?
Look at, did you watch Spurs West Ham today?
Yeah, it's great. I loved it.
Yeah, and no, you didn't. You're a liar. But listen, West Ham, I was watching West Ham today and going, like, these are a proper fucking well-drilled side. They're playing with a style of play. You can see that the system is set up to get the best out of players that, like, literally exist.
Why have you got a giddy look on your face, Sean? Are you building something here? I can see he's giddy about something.
Listen, at the end of the day, United pulled the trigger on David Moyes way too quick.
No, he didn't.
They did.
Job was way too big.
The job was too big for him,
West Ham. I'll tell you what West Ham are.
That job was too big for everybody on the planet.
I'll tell you what West Ham are.
Moyes needs to be at a level, I think, where he can build his team and get losses and be allowed to fail.
They're basically,
and then he can set them up. It's an improvement on
everything. West Ham are Everton of the mid-2000s. We're actually probably two or three better quality players.
Solskjaer's in year three of his Manchester United career.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me he was warped more time than David Moyes?
No, but David Moyes wasn't more 3 years either. He shouldn't have been near it. And you know what that was? I actually blame Alex Ferguson on it. Not that I blame him, I don't give a fuck. But I will blame Alex Ferguson on it because he didn't make a football decision. He made an emotional decision. and he made a romantic decision, and he should.
Why he was making any
and
decision?
And you know what? He shouldn't have been making any decision.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that they've ended up with Solskjaer. They've ended up in a position where they're with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. If Solskjaer was managing West Ham, they'd be literally fighting relegation.
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah, but that
no, 3 years at West Ham, they'd be in the Championship.
What's happened with him between then that fucking United have ended up in that position?
Well, what's happened with United is that they took the recommendation of Alex Ferguson, which they never should have, because he shouldn't have been in a position to do it, right? And then they brought a fella in that was completely out of his depth, and he proved so by making Fellaini his first signing. He literally had no ideas. He went, and this is a guy I remember at Goodison Park. They used to have his own room in Goodison Park, right? With whiteboards all over it, with names of players stuck all over it. And him and his staff used to go in there every day and look at names of players for hours. And he went back to Fellaini when he got to United. Right.
Well, not only that, the Fellaini thing, Gav, they knew Fellaini had a buyout deal, and he knew because he was his fucking manager, and he didn't buy him, and he started panicking as the window went. And then, a great point. I think Moyes would be better.
I let that out along with Paul's calls.
No, but I'm just trying to say that.
Our toes. I don't fucking know who he is.
Are we talking about our toes again? Because I don't think I'm finished with that.
What I'm trying to say is that United are literally further behind now than they were when Ferguson left.
Yes, but you have to look at the teams that are there now, Shawnee. Like, when he leaves, City are starting to come into their own. Liverpool have gone close in it. Sorry, Liverpool go close in the year that Moyes is there. But now you're looking at it, right? And Chelsea were around. But now Liverpool are just hopping off teams. City are completely at the top, you know, with Liverpool. And Chelsea are in there. And others. There's so much more around them. Like, go back and look at Moyes' record. It's fucking horrendous. Like, it's horrendous. And it doesn't
I remember the game against Fulham when they, like, had 130 crosses or something.
But the thing is, it doesn't matter that it was Moyes, though. It doesn't matter that it was Moyes. It was the fact that...
You're saying Moyes like he's a Spanish bleeding Moyes.
No, I'm thinking of... what's your woman's name?
Alison Moyes. Alison Moyes, yeah.
What did she sing? Anyone know what Alison Moyes
is? I'm thinking of Enya.
Sing Enya if you want.
We were thinking of Mary Coughlin, for fuck's sake.
What are you doing thinking of Enya at 20 to 12 on a Sunday night?
I'm going to start playing True Four Day in a minute.
No, but you're out Enya's way as well, James.
He's giddy. Well, look at this.
Like you're saying, like that's what I'm trying to say is, like, Conte comes in, it might bring them close, but he'd be gone in within a year. Like, it's like, you were around, obviously. Like, obviously, you would have been fucking a lot younger to have that sort of thinking in terms of football. If you had a towel, the Liverpool fan in 1989 or 19, when you won't win a league title for 30 years, you would have been put in a straitjacket. If you had a towel, the Manchester United fan in 2012, 2013, that they might go 10 years without a league title, you probably would have been sent out to Lowman's or Dundrum out here and checked in. But it's not entirely possible that United go... It's coming up to the eve of a decade since they won a league title.
And it's a good point, Shawnee. I remember when Liverpool played United.
Not entirely, but this is my point, Keith. It's not entirely possible that United get to another 10 years down the line and they haven't won a league title. And it's all of a sudden it's 20 years and 30 years again, because the decision-making has seemed to have led them in a position where they're actually worse off now than they would be. And there's managers who's... they've sacked that are starting to thrive in other roles, i.e. a David Moyes. So that's what I'm trying to say. Is, like,
they're panicking with decisions. I remember when United beat Liverpool in the 96 Cup final, and it felt like an eternity. It was a generational thing, because when they last won the league, I'm, 9 or 10 at that stage, and at the 96 final, like, I'm 15. Do you know what I mean? And you're becoming a teen, you're a teenager at that stage, and it felt but it felt like, you know, 100 years since Liverpool won the league.
Landmarks in your life start appearing, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
The amount of times that, like, you haven't won a league and you can start. Eber Steller says, all tired out in love letters. Is that
Alison Moyer, love letters. Yeah, go for it, Jamie. Go for it,
He loves the song, doesn't he?
Yazoo are better. People are throwing Yazoo in there. Yazoo are quality. Alison Moyer and your man El Gorda.
We went to karaoke one night.
I was going to say, right, I'm not going to do truth or dare, but if you had to pick, what is your karaoke song?
Alison Moye, Love Letters.
Some Might Say by Oasis.
Oh, Gav, I didn't think you had that in you. Yeah,
I
do.
I have it in me. But
backing yourself, I like that.
Backing myself right massively.
You'll never get mine. You'll never get mine.
Oh, we have to guess.
Come on.
Oh, you'd say it's a
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Wham, meatloaf. Wham.
That's Wham.
Shakira, the hips don't lie.
Wham, everything she wants.
There you go. Oh, there you go. We love it.
That's a banger.
Can we crack a Wham? Have some bread. Is that what loads, like, is that made you think you've got it? Like it.
What?
Have you done it well, Shawnee? Is what I'm trying to say. Like,
but you know, like the acoustic in the shower is always.
It gives you that extra pep, doesn't it?
I'm standing in some Chinese restaurant down there, I might sound like a fucking bag of cats, but what can you do?
Wham are good for it. Bit of freedom, boy. Wham, quality song, that one.
When you're in the shower and you're singing, you're actually trying to think of the record labels that you're going to tone down in favour of others, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And then if
Ed Sheeran tones around on The Voice, now Ed, stay where you are. I'm waiting on Will.i.am, please.
Yeah. Fuck off, Ed, you prick.
Yeah, I want you.
Yeah, but can we go? Can we do that? Can we go to a Chinese restaurant and do some karaoke?
Bang into that.
Definitely, yeah.
Sean, you remember that song.
We should live stream if I see any.
Yeah. There you go.
We're doing
there
a Night for Sienna.
Night for Sienna. We're actually discussing.
Well, the Night for Sienna can be me having a 3-1 trying to tackle George Michael. Everything she wants.
Okay. I can see we're in discussions at the moment with somebody to sort a venue out for us for that. It will be limited tickets, invite only, and anyone in the chat that wants to go can go. Chris Brack likes a bit of Disco 2000 by Pulp. There you go. Ebert Stella likes a bit of Westlife.
Rocking
on Westlife. Oh, well, UK lad, he can come. He says, Mr. Bombastic, he's getting an invite.
There you go.
Let me see. Richard Lefebvre says, Richard Lefebvre says, nobody's dirty. Nobody's dirty by Yazoo. Vince Clark was a god, he says.
Yeah, Vince Clark is quality. Vince Clark is the
I don't know whether he's happy with this, but he says, Zombie.
See, the key to picking a good karaoke song is knowing that after the first verse, everyone joins you.
Yeah,
that's the big one.
Yeah, and exactly right. That's so, you want Shawnee's going with Wham, and you get people up dancing and they're giving it that.
Yeah,
I got with 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of 3 ain't bad goes on for about 7.5 minutes, and people are going out to get a drink and all that. Get this fucker off, will you?
I used to have to do it with every, so whenever I joined a new footy team, the first away trip, you'd have to get up and sing. That was just the thing. And I've done Mustang Sally, The Commitments, every single time. I've never had to get to the second verse because everyone joined in. I don't even know the second verse at this stage. I'm just
Do you know something? Try a Little Tenderness by from The Commitments is probably out there as one of my songs for karaoke as well.
I'm going to watch The Commitments after this podcast.
Commitments is fucking brilliant.
You know what? Everyone is doing these poxy watch-alongs these days. If anyone wants to do Commitments, watch-alongs.
But the thing about The Commitments is, right, for anyone that hasn't seen it, right,
I saw it,
Imelda Quirk is amazing in it, right? She's the blondie one in it, right? But the other girl in it, Maria Doyle Kennedy.
Yeah.
Has the most amazing voice.
She's a great singer.
Oh my
god, she is
god.
A great singer.
Like, genuinely, you sit and the hairs on your arms and neck stand up.
I have to say something. I'm not going to lie to you. Your woman who plays Imelda Quirk was sitting across me in a restaurant. Now, hold on, just make sure that door's closed.
Make sure that door's closed. Yeah, go on, tell us.
She was sitting across from me and the missus in a restaurant a couple of weeks ago there, and she's still in great nick.
Yeah, she was in shame.
I can't confirm she's still in great nick.
Yeah.
Fair play.
So, there you go.
Commitments.
We won't have a single weekend free next year because we're having Nights for Sienna. We're going karaoke. We're all going out to Shawnee's to test the whiskey. We're doing all sorts of stuff, aren't we?
Yeah.
But we're in Liverpool next week.
Is there anybody in the chat in Liverpool next week? He's coming for a point or what?
We
get the first round in, Shawnee.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we get the first round in. We put it on the Trippers.
Yeah, has Paul Senior got karaoke in that fucking...
Paul Senior, I don't think he has karaoke in Motel.
Ask him to put it on, please.
But he's about 4 bars in Liverpool. I'm sure we can message him and ask him.
Listen, if there's any Scousers in the chat, which I don't know, we've a Scouser on the panel tonight, but if there's any of these little places we can go to sing a bit of karaoke now. I'm saying that full of whiskey, so I might just ignore you tomorrow when I wake up.
Karaoke, what are you on about? We don't sing karaoke.
I'd love to have a go after.
The one mega mix is on Shawnee Europe.
Yeah, and then people will be sending Shawnee clips of Wham songs, and he'd be like, hate them. I actually hate their Christmas song.
I actually don't. I love that.
Wham
at Dead. Michael is massively underrated, by the way.
No, Last Christmas. It's the Last Christmas.
That's blasphemy. I'm going to hear Last Christmas in about, I'd say, I'm looking at me, the calendar there on my laptop, in about 6 weeks' time, and I'm getting horny thinking about it. Yeah.
The best Christmas song is Step Into Christmas by Elton John, anyway.
That's not a bad shout. I've got to give you that.
It's an absolute fucking belt.
The Fairy Tale of New York.
Well, that's not even a Christmas song. That's a hymn at this stage. Yeah. That's from the gospel.
That's like Mo Salah. Yeah, apart from Fairy Tale of New York.
I'm going to be on the cop next week singing. You're bleeding, the bands were ringing out.
Just throw Ole into it somewhere, and you'll be all right.
Avo the Tord says he lives in Liverpool. Are you coming for a pint? That's what we're asking.
Yeah.
If you're in Liverpool next week, next Saturday morning, let us know and we meet you for a pint and we get the first round. How does that sound?
Is Periscope still a thing, Gav? Get on the Periscope in the bars in Liverpool.
No, you can do short videos on YouTube now. You can do short videos on YouTube, yeah. So it's all good. So anyway, we better go 10 to 12. We'll be playing Liverpool game, I presume, is on the next 10 minutes. I have to go and edit this, finish this last can. Listen to fucking Keith singing in the background. Just shut the fuck up.
I'm finished. I'm done.
I'm all out of wine here. Drank a full bottle of wine on my own.
I still have a Guinness. I'll drink this while I'm editing. Sorry.
My missus is out all night, so I'm going downstairs to drink whiskey like Shawnee and listen to Wham.
Yeah, there you go. That's a plan.
I'll FaceTime you, Jamie. We can have a moment.
Very excited.
I'm going to stick on the Liverpool game and put on Christy Moore live at the point from 1994.
So, there you go. I'm gonna whack on Casey in the Sunshine.
You know what? Liverpool beat 5-0. Beat United 5-0 today.
This is the way you want.
And here was me thinking that was the horniest I'd be all day. Yeah. And I can't believe how horny I'm leaving this podcast.
By the way, lads, when did we stop talking about football?
About an hour and a half ago. It's about 10 past 10. It's 10 to 12 now. Anyway, that's how it goes. We told you to be no analysis. We told you to be no social media, lineup, stats, player watching, none of that. We only come on to have a few cans, have a laugh and tell you how good the Reds are. They are absolutely mustard. Liverpool 5, United 0 at Old Trafford today. Liverpool are absolutely flying. Preston Academicals during the week in the League Cup.
Again.
And then me and Shawnee are going over to manage them next Saturday. Andy is managing them as well. And we're going to do them. We're going to do Brighton next Saturday afternoon. Thanks a million for watching. Don't forget Sienna Steps. The link is in the description. She's very, very close to 120 grand target. So please do that. And
Don't forget the GoFundMe link for the nail clippers.
The GoFundMe link for the nail clippers will be put into the show description once Shawnee sets that up. And our new channel, Man On Football Show, which launches in about a month's time. And literally, lads, go and subscribe. The link is in the description. Me, Shawnee and Keith are doing this and we're going to talk about football from all over the world. And exactly what you got tonight is probably what you're going to get, because we're not going to be too deep in it. We're going to have a laugh for it. We're going to pick teams from all over the world that we're going to start supporting. We're going to do all sorts of mad stuff. And we're going to have a laugh twice a week with that. So go and subscribe to that. And if you have any recommendations, absolutely throw them at us as well, because we're open to recommendations, because you's watching. So you might as well enjoy it while you're watching it, rather than just this those three going like Egypt. Well, four in this case tonight, because it's just got all out of hand.
It's a day for getting out of hand.
Yeah. There's more copyright stuff.
What a day. What a day, lads. What a fucking day.
Imagine when we win the league, honestly, they'd be pulling me out of Mersey by the ankles.
But listen, good night to Jamie. Good night to Keith. Good night to Shawnee. Good night to Paul Scholes, Nails, all that sort of stuff as well. Good night to Wally Gunnar Solskjaer, because I tell you something, you might be down the job centre in the next couple of days if I have your way. And no, actually, you wouldn't. You can stay there as long as you want. But if
contract. Show of sign of fate.
All things being equal, you shouldn't be there, but you got absolutely handballed around the place today. That has been the Fat Back Four. Tomorrow is the Forum. What day do Liverpool play? Wednesday? Yeah, no Wednesday. So Tuesday, the midweek fix will be Tuesday. Pre and post match on Wednesday. Carnage Thursday. Sports Unplugged Friday. pre and post match Saturday. And Keith is going to look after the Fatback for next week because me and Sean will be drinking. So he's going to look after that. Thanks a million for watching. Can I let you know I've broken the outro to this show. So I'm going to try to end it as gracefully as I possibly can. And if I can be as graceful as the four of us has been on this chat for the last hour and 49 minutes, I think we'll be doing absolutely fine. Talk to you in a bit over now.
Mustang Sally. Yes, you better slow down. Podcast Network.